But where do you go? Where do you go to look for light?
I've got an office in Bermondsey.
Whereabouts?
On Long Lane, in one of those kind of yuppie loft conversions on Long Lane.
Long Lane, yeah.
Yeah, by the market, right by the market.
Yeah.
And it appears in a couple of my stories as well. Everywhere I've ever lived appears in my stories. But so I go there, and it is nice, but it does. You don't make any new friends, basically,
yeah.
And I have a kind of churn, which is the churn level higher than ITV Digital for friends. So I need to make some new ones. So the last about month and a half, I've been doing some acting.
But these stories themselves, of course, are not. If somebody had only just skimmed your CV, think, oh, they're going to be wacky, funny, laugh a minute, knock around, ironic little stories. Whereas in fact. When I was about 11, I used to love reading the Pan books of horror, and these were genuinely grotesque, disturbing stories. I remember one of us, a kid who, from the age of 6 months, had his head locked into an iron mask that came out like a spikes at the top,
right.
And his face grew into all of these shapes.
Right.
That's all I can remember from the story, but anything that can echo all that you've seen in your life, like anything, I remember feeling really creeped out by that.
Yeah.
Now, yours aren't straight-ahead horror stories, but there's certainly a stripe of those in it, isn't there?
That's an element, because I think, yeah, I mean, similarly with me later on, the classic short stories that I read were horror short stories, science fiction, and so I wanted to take an element of that, but combine it with kind of social satire, which is what they are. But that kind of horror element so fits a short story, I think.
And I'm sure it's been put to you so many times since the first one. But the short story in itself is a novelty, which is an odd state of affairs to me.
Well, I mean, I think partly because of kind of literary fiction, you know, just, you know, the British kind of, I think, university kind of influence short story, you know, in the last few years has just been about, just sort of started and then dribbled to a stop, you know, just somebody buying some bacon or something.
Obviously, intentionally you've started to write short stories, but is it a matter of just thinking, well, that's the end of that story, there's no need to keep dragging it out, that's where that one ends.
Yeah.
It's not dot, 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 and the next chapter carries on, that's it. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
But it has to have a specific end, which is a twist,
Of course, yeah.
You can't just stop.
And perhaps we shouldn't do this on the air, perhaps it's unkind, but there's a television show that we should write. Now, I thought this, like, this morning, everyone's reviving everything. Do you remember a series called The Liars? William Mervyn. It was about a group of people, I think it was five or six, I think it was three men and two women, and they used to meet once a week, and it was a portmanteau television show. And sit around the table, and it was a club where they could tell the most outrageous short story lies, and it would dissolve into these stories for like 8 or 9 minutes, then come back, and then somebody would have to up the ante and go, well, that's a good story, but it reminds me of the time I was in Nepal. I don't know if you've ever... And it was a wonderful thing. A short story in itself is what it is. But if things naturally gravitate towards the great beast of television, I think if there was... The reviving The Liars, which is something along the lines of what you do, would be a tremendous thing. The portmanteau film.
Yeah.
Did you ever see any of those Tales from the Crypt and those?
Yeah.
I know they spoofed them, but they were good in their own right.
Oh, yeah. And it's a good training for writers, I think, to have to do a complete story, you know, on TV.